Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nice and fresh, sporting a fresh haircut. If you're watching on YouTube, give a like down below if you like Benji's haircut, or a dislike if you don't like it. We'll see what the ratio is.
Most disliked podcast ever.
Yeah, probably. Makes sense. I just, we're here to start our award season. So we'll be doing best GC rider, best yada, yada, yada. Today is best sprinter, awarding the best sprinter of 2021 and what that means to you. Might have differing definitions. We'll define the questions and we'll also look to next year to see or decide or forecast who will be the most successful sprinter in 2022. But I've got to say, a weird year. Let's just sort of recap the year of sprinting, Benji, where I feel like we were, maybe because of Bennett and Lefebvre beef, but we were denied really seeing the big guns going head-to-head against each other, particularly the Tour de France, where there were so many sprint stages. Ewan crashed out and Bennett didn't go. What do you think was the real sprinter royale this year?
Honestly, I would look at the UAE Tour, because I feel like we had the most top sprinters in one bunch sprinting against each other at the UAE Tour. But in all honesty, if you look at the entire season in total, I think we just didn't have a sprinter that was like miles ahead of others when it comes to both the sprinting and both the results as a consequence. Because if you think about the past, Marcel Kittel, extremely strong. If you saw him at the start of a race, you know that he might not even need a lead out to just destroy everybody. The likes of Mark Cavendish in his early days, for example, same bloody story. And the thing is that every year we had like one person that would win 3 to 4 stage wins at the Tour de France, and that was against the best sprinters in the world. This year, I must say that Cavendish did great, winning a lot at the Tour de France, but we had Ewan crashing out. We had Bennett not being there due to his knee injury, but also would have been a teammate, so he wouldn't have been selected if Bennett was in full force by that Tour de France. Does that mean that Cavendish's sprints are useless? No, not at all. Not even close, because he won the most important sprints of the season, in my eyes, which is the sprint stage in the Tour de France. And that's a discussion we might be having on this podcast as well. Does the most important sprints, winning that, does that mean you're the best sprinter? In my eyes, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think, no, it doesn't. But right place, right time, best lead out. We'll talk lead outs as well. I do think, as you said, UAE, which, I don't know, sometimes we're skeptical of UAE too, like, oh, is it really the most important race? Well, I mean, there's 3 sprint stages. There was supposed to be 4, were it not for the stage one crosswinds. Usually all the best sprinters there. Plus, we have like some good Wasp Aquilo tests on her feet. So I'm actually looking forward to it again next year. But yeah, anyway, looking at, if you look at pro cycling stats for the best sprinters, who's accumulated the most points, it's actually Jasper Philipsen, who's been very, very consistent throughout the year. But I saw on, I think it was the Night Chacha Instagram, Twitter account, he did like a, it's subjective and I want to do my own version of this, but like calculating strike rate of sprinters. And Philipsen's at world tour level, his strike rate in sprints is very low in bunch sprints. I mean, at the Tour de France, yes, loads of seconds and thirds, but then loads of guys have crashed out, same at Paris-Nice, but he's more cleaned up. And, you know, what has he done? 63 race days.
Is it not because he has completed 2 full Grand Tours as a sprinter for the team compared to Ewan, who was crashing out after the first few days of the Tour, who started the Giro and ended after the first few days because there weren't that many flat stages, compared to a Jakobsen who did 1 Grand Tour, Cavendish who did 1 Grand Tour? Does that not give him more points as a consequence if he keeps on podium in 2 Grand Tours in a row?
I think it, well, no, Tour de France, stage 3 where he came second, 50 UCI points. Guess how many points you get for Grand Prix de Dinard winning that? 200. So it's coming second at the Tour de France in a sprint stage is worth a quarter of winning Grand Prix de Dinant, or it's worth, quick maths, what's 300 divided by 25, Benji?
That is nine. Jesus Christ.
Jesus, no, it's embarrassing.
No, 300 by 25 is not 9. It's 12.
All right, well, Eschborn Frankfurt, you get 300 UCI points. So he's kind of been the send riders to the right races darling of this season, even though he didn't finish the Vuelta a España. But that leads us to our first real strict question. Who was the most successful sprinter in 2021? This question is not about what could have been, who is the best on their day. This is who got the best sprint results in 2021. My answer is clear. It's Mark Cavendish.
I agree. Firmly agree. And it's seen all over the season, because we start off with the Calf to the Tour meme that popped up in Turkey. It was one of his first proper sprint allowances at Quickstep this season. We had some small Belgian classics beforehand where he got very close just before Turkey. And in Turkey, he started striking right. And he did so by quite simply beating the likes of Philipsen quite a few times. Now, I do believe that positioning meant a lot in that race for his sprints, but he was successful and he was able to book a position in the Tour de France because, well, Bennett was not looking that great and his relationship with his team manager, Patrick Lefebvre, was on its complicated on Facebook. So as a consequence, Mark Cavendish hopped into the door and was able to ride the Tour. And he actually proved to, everybody that he can still do it on that area. Obviously, the Koenig train is very important, but there were stages in there where he won on his own regard as well. Was it the second stage win or something that he flew past? Was it the first one?
Yeah, I think him beating Philipsen with Philipsen in the draft like that is pretty impressive on that uphill drag to stage four. I don't think he was in okay position, but it wasn't like perfect, dropped off with 125. I think he was left on the front a little bit early, like if you want the optimal drop-off for that uphill drag, and Philipsen wasn't good enough to come out of his draft. Now, obviously, a lot went right for him. Bennett not being there. Ewan crashing out stage three. Merlier in Alpes and Phoenix deciding to treat the Tour de France like a kid's participation swimming carnival and lead out Philipsen after Merlier won stage three certainly helped Cavendish as well. But this is the most successful awards. And he won four stages. He won the green jersey. Four stages of the Tour de France is more important than 10 World Tour stages scattered around other races in terms of exposure. So, yeah, Cav most successful for me. And he won at Turkey and he won at Baloise, Belgium Tour. Like the Koenig Quickstep Belgian team, he won stage five ahead of Merlier, Ackermann, Groenewegen. So it wasn't just the Tour. And he won the German race, Sparkassen, Münsterland, Giro as well.
Yeah, that race.
I didn't know he won that. I just saw on PCS there. So I think, who would you go to, Benji? That's the tougher one.
That's a really good question, but I think I would be pointing it at either Merlier or Jakobsen, because we know that Merlier, when he is the sprinter in his team, the all-out sprinter that they go for, he's very likely to end up winning. I think it was Bing Bang where he had those two stage wins, one of which was on the left side of the road where he passed people in the last 100 meters and took that victory as well against very strong sprinters. And the counterpoint is that he always leaves after a few days in the Tour de France and in the Giro. So I'm kind of like, is that really sure, he was successful the races he rode, but he wasn't there for the majority of the biggest sprints in the world, you know? So that's kind of the negative effect for me. But if you look at Jakobsen, then he came back for the Vuelta. Preparation races were looking good. The second he started sprinting again himself, he was getting closer and closer. And I think he already started winning one of his first ones that he actually started sprinting again, which is pretty damn big. And we saw him going into the Vuelta. We were looking at Philipsen and Jakobsen for the two best sprinters in that race. And I would dare to say that Jakobsen was the strongest sprinter in the Vuelta. We've spoken about this before. Philipsen was second in that row. And the question there is, how successful do we view Philipsen if he is second and third? Is that successful, being able to podium on so many races at top level? I would say that it's somewhat successful, but it's not as successful as winning at that level.
Well, no, it's not successful when the alternative is Merlier sprinting, who can win.
Yeah, so, but Merlier wasn't at the Vuelta, so...
should have been. Jakobsen, I agree. Jakobsen, he basically just got his legs back underneath him for the first three stage races. Like Dauphiné, he was literally there just for fitness. And then he won seven races, three at World Tour level, three at Dot Pro level in 2 months at the end of the season. It's a great return. And, yeah, it's incredible. But Merlier, yeah, Merlier is good as well. But anyway, that's a tougher second question. But Cav is our most successful sprinter in 2021. Now is the more let's go to best sprint of 2021, Benji. And usually sometimes I try and stop myself being a little bit biased. People may not believe this, but, yeah, I actually sometimes think, oh, okay, I shouldn't go with the Australians all the time. I'm going with most impressive sprint or my best sprint of 2021, Caleb Ewan, when he beat, I think it was the second sprint in the Giro d'Italia in that tricky technical finish where Gaviria attacked and he caught Gaviria with, I think, Merlier on his wheel and Chimalai, and he absolutely destroyed everyone, I think, in that Tourmalet finish. That's my most impressive sprint.
I think that's a good pick, honestly. I think that's a good pick, but I think the most impressive, entertaining sprint of all is one that we haven't actually named any rider that was participating, because it wasn't in the Giro at the intermediate sprint where Evenepoel started sprinting against Ganna and Bernal. And I think that's the most impressive sprint of the season. I didn't expect it to happen. It was completely useless in hindsight. And at the moment itself, I was like, okay, it's for 3 seconds, people. Are we really fighting over 3 seconds right now in the first week of a Giro?
Yes.
Yes, and they decided to go for it. I don't even remember who won it, but it was impressive. I think Evenepoel actually beat Bernal there, but I could be wrong.
Destroyed him, 800 watt peak.
Anyway, on a serious note, though, when it comes to like serious sprints, the impressive sprints in general, I would like to give to the UAE Tour in general, because I think there was a lot in the UAE Tour sprints we could analyze. Like, we saw Bennett with Merck ahead of him. We saw Bennett, how he was able to get to a high top speed in the latter 100 meters, and the fact that Caleb Ewan needs that position in his wheel to be able to beat Bennett. If Ewan is in Bennett's wheel, then he's better. That's what we saw at the UAE Tour. And yeah, there was so much tactics there, or like, we were able to define so clearly what they were good at. And I enjoy that. So for me, that's that thing. It might not be the pure definition of most impressive, but I enjoyed it a lot. So I guess I'm just hijacking this award.
I'd throw another Bennett one in there, which is the stage one of Paris-Nice, cold conditions, uphill drag. He absolutely destroyed everyone, the Saint-Sylacole finish.
Yeah.
Nasty, sort of draggy, slow finish on the hoods. And he ruined Demar, Pedersen, Philipsen on a finish that suits particularly Philipsen. So, yeah, Bennett has some really impressive dominant wins this year as well. I just like the Ewan one because he had to close a gap with someone like Merlier in good condition on the wheel. Before we get to the big one, the most controversial one, our top five sprinters in the world, mention our show partner, Lacole. Lacole produced performance cycling apparel. They've been a show partner of the show since its inception, and they've created the Lacole Cycling Club, where they're running group rides on Zwift for Lacole Cycling Club members. There's also additional discounts for Lacole Cycling Club members. If you want to check that out, it's at www.lacole.cc. That's www.lacole.cc. Thanks, Lacole. Really for the whole year and supporting the show, but we'll do more on a wrap up later. But the big question, Benji, top five sprinters in the world, you go first, because I've got mine written down. Full disclosure, in case Benji copies me,
in case I copy you,
yeah.
Okay. I for me this is a bit more of an on the spot thing, because LR decided to tell me 1 second before the podcast started that we're doing a top five sprinters, but I think I've got the top two nailed down already, because I'll do it the other way around. I'll start off with first, because that ruins all the tension when it comes to my top five. My best sprinter in the world at the moment is Caleb Ewan, as simple as that. Now, why is Caleb Ewan the best sprinter in the world for me? We saw in the UAE Tour that every single time where he was in a good position, he was able to beat Sam Bennett, who was at that moment seen as the best sprinter in the world, partially thanks to the help of the De Koenig train. Now, for this award, the best sprinter in the world, I do value the effect of the De Koenig train for the Koenig riders. So therefore, Bennett and Cavendish get a slight bit less, because I believe that when you take away Merku, they're going to not win as many races because positioning is part of sprinting. And I think Ewan actually has a bit of a negative part there, where the second he is in a good position, he is able to win. But the problem for him is, and I don't want to be height shaming, he's not that
he gets bullied
large. And exactly, he gets bullied by other competition. We saw this in, was it a Bing Bang Tour stage where Merlier ended up winning? Merlier was able to move forward. Merlier was able to move forward and win that stage eventually because he was able to keep himself in the same position and push him through the peloton towards being in a good position. Caleb Ewan can't do that. Caleb Ewan can't do what Tim Merlier did there. And as a consequence, he has to benefit of gaps that are open or teammates that deliver him to the perfect position. Now, the Lotto Soudal train this year was very inconsistent. There were like 1 or 2 days where they were very on point for Caleb Ewan, but the rest, I feel like they weren't really there for him. And as a consequence, he had to do quite a lot himself. And when that is the case, you are limited by your abilities, and being able to move up in a mass sprint with trains all over is not Caleb Ewan's best thingy. Now, the positive side on that is that he's very small, so he can worm himself through smaller gaps. So there's another side to the coin, really. But I think that when we look at top speed, acceleration, Caleb Ewan is the best sprinter in the world. When it comes to his ability to get on to punchy sprints like Hatadam, for example, that's once again a place where he is one of the strongest sprinters, if not the strongest sprinter, of the field when he arrives at that small hill at the end of that UAE stage. Did we have Hatadam this year? I don't think so,
no,
right?
No, we didn't.
So unfortunate. I love Hatadam. Anyway, that's why Caleb Ewan is for me the first one in that row. Now, when it comes to the second one, I said it. De Koenig is a tiny bit less for me personally. And I'm going to go and say that Tim Merlier is my second best sprinter in the world. Tim Merlier is able to do a lot alone. He showed that in a lot of races. Yes, he has a good lead out when it comes to Alpecin, definitely. But he also showed that he can do it alone. And that's a thing that is very important.
One question. I want to challenge you.
Oh, God.
The fact that Merlier can't get over a hill, and so he really only has to have the sprint stages front-loaded or to be doing Baloise, a Belgium Tour, etc. Bennett can finish a Grand Tour, won the green jersey last year. Do we take that into consideration in terms of best sprinter? I don't know the answer. Are we talking peak speed? Because, yeah, I agree. If you line up these guys, Tirreno Adriatico stage one, that pancake flat, Merlier, pretty lethal. But I knock him down a bit, Benji, for like I want a guy to be able to do a third week sprint as well.
I agree on that effect, but when I look at our awards here, I think this most successful sprint is the one that makes the sprinter able to perform on every single top sprint, and Merlier is not able to do that because he can't get across to the second week in top form. But when it comes to the all-out, just a sprint stage, a one-day sprint stage, or a week one Tour de France sprint stage, he's going to be one of the best sprinters in the world on that field. When it comes to getting over hill, I think that's highlighted by the fact that he has issues with the ability of recovery after the first week in a Grand Tour, the first few days in a Grand Tour. He obviously doesn't enjoy climbing that well because he's a sprinter. Majority of sprinters don't like climbing, I would expect. But if I am honest, I think that if a sprint has one hill on the first stage of a Grand Tour, I'm saying he gets over it. If it's on the sixth day or the fifth day, he doesn't. So I think that has a big effect on his climbing as well.
You got to remember that Merlier, like, he's been a cyclocross guy, sort of the same pathway as Van der Poel, and it's different with MVDP, who doesn't do the bunch sprints, who doesn't like the bunch sprints or participating in them. Merlier's doing this very technical activity, and I know obviously he's been riding a lot of Belgian one-day races, which are very technical, whilst he's been a cyclocross rider at Verdendas Willems Kralen. But it's just impressive for a guy to be 28 and just be like, yeah, I can turn up to Tirreno Adriatico or the Giro and win a bunch sprint against guys who've been focusing on World Tour bunch sprints for like half a decade. It's really impressive. Sorry, Benji, you're third now, surely Bennett.
My problem with Bennett is I would love to put him there, but we've seen him for 2 months in the season.
Come on. And they're sprint. Come on. I'm the Bennett hater. I'm supposed to be the Bennett hater.
Yeah, I'll put Sam Bennett there. Okay. I'll put Sam Bennett there. I think that he's proven enough in the first part of the season that he's one of the strongest sprinters in the world. He was unable to show himself in the latter part of the season. I don't believe that when you put Sam Bennett next to Cavendish on a sprint that Cavendish is going to be destroying Sam Bennett. That is, in my eyes, unlikely. Now, it depends on their lead out next year. I wouldn't know because Mirku is gone for Bennett and Cavendish might still have Mirku. But yeah, I would expect that Cavendish doesn't ride the Tour de France. But then again, we did so last year for this Tour de France as well. So you never know that Jakobsen has a fight with Patrick Lefebvre and can't start the Tour de France next season as a consequence. Nonetheless, I think when it comes to my third sprint, I said Bennett. Yes, that the Koenig effect matters for him. But when it comes to the fourth one, this is where it gets a bit difficult, you know, because we're talking about the Koenig effect. Does it strike as well when it comes to Jakobsen? If you look at Cavendish, I think that I put Jakobsen above Cavendish personally. I think Jakobsen is a better sprinter than Cavendish. And that is also because Jakobsen had to do it without Mirku at the Vuelta. And he was still able to pass through sprints where his positioning was very much non-ideal. The lead outs at the Vuelta, one of them was too strong to the point where he got dropped by his lead out. And the other ones, we saw, who was it again? Like the third lead out, was it Stibar or was it someone else? We saw Seneschal at some point, but Van Lerberg was there as well. Like, sometimes it looked like they were sprinting a lead out at the front of the peloton and he was like in 10-15 position with 4 meters to go and had to move up.
Shit. They were shit.
They weren't good enough. And he still was able to be the best sprinter at that race. So I'm going to put Jakobsen in third. I'm going to put Cavendish in fourth. We've spoken about Cavendish already and his pathway throughout the season, so I won't repeat that for this. And my fifth rider is... I'm still forgetting someone, by the way, when doing this.
So Jakobsen's fourth.
Yeah.
So that means...
third, right?
No, third was Merlier. No, third was Bennett.
Oh, shit. Fourth... Yeah, you're right. Fourth was Jakobsen.
And fifth is Cav.
Probably. There's probably someone that I would put above Cav still, but I think this year we should still give him to him like at least one spot in the top five.
You ready for mine?
I'm scared. Ready?
I'm going to go reverse order. Fifth.
Don't tell me Bauhaus.
Top five sprinters in the world. Fifth, Wout van Aert.
I forgot Van Aert.
Belgian. Benji straight up just fucking wants to get deported. Like, he's actively doing it.
Hey, if you told me half an hour before this podcast we would do a top five, I might have known him.
You need a day's notice to remember Wout van Aert. Come on. He's after World Champs, he's obviously been dead to Benji. Wout van Aert, fifth, Tirreno sprint, Champs-Élysées sprint. I think the fact that he doesn't have more sprint wins is because he doesn't sprint a lot of the time and because he doesn't always, he never has a full lead out. I mean, when he had Turnison with the one-man job, they cleaned up Champs-Élysées. You can change it later, Benji. It's all good. You can change after
it's
my
done.
My goodness.
It's done.
Fourth, Melier. I discount the fact that he can't get through a Grand Tour or even a one-week stage race. I got Melier there. But in terms of top-end speed, he proved me wrong. I was talking a bit of shit about him, I think, at the start of the year, and he proved me wrong completely. And if he bothered to turn up to the Vuelta, he would have, I think, obviously won a stage in each of the three Grand Tours, which is incredible for Merlier. That being said, I also think he's had a great lead out. I think Alpecin, at the races he's won, they've had the best lead out often. Jonas Rickaert and Dries de Bont is very, very good, or the lead out Philipsen gave him on stage three of the Tour. Four, I can't count either. Third, I have Jakobsen. Jakobsen, I think right now, his current condition, third best in the world, top end speed is just huge. And yeah, he was, no one could come close at the Vuelta, even though Philipsen had better position. Second, I have Bennett. I think Bennett was just so dominant at the start of this year, not always with the best lead out, particularly at UAE. Sometimes Mirku helped, but it wasn't like Rolls-Royce treatment like Paris-Nice stage five. And I think Bennett if Bennett had gone to the Tour and had another knee issue and he's got Mirku there, he probably wins. And, you know, even with, you say Ewan doesn't crash, he still wins at least two stages, in which case I think it'd be clear that people would say he's the second best in the world. And first I have Ewan. The Ewan lead outs are a problem. And in our next question, we'll talk about that in more detail. But yeah, they changed Kluger and Du Bois. They changed the order of them around. Kluger's aging out. Du Bois did a good job sort of for Ewan on that stage I mentioned for Ewan. That was the most impressive sprint of the year. That was a punchy uphill one. But in terms of like get a guy on the front and just absolutely launch it from 450 to 200, 175, they don't have anyone to do that. And they've signed Drizners, the Australian young guy. They've signed – no, I'll hold that thought. Sorry. That's my list, Benji. You got any problems with my list?
I think the inclusion of Wout van Aert is a very clever inclusion, and I probably should have thought about him when making my top five sprinters list this season. But you said it. It's because he isn't profiled as a sprinter in many races, and as a consequence, he doesn't ride many races as a sprinter, and therefore you don't classify him as a sprinter often, and he's often forgotten in Liz because of that. Yeah, I'm finding an excuse, okay?
no, he himself, Benji. Wout van Aert is a better time trialist and a better sprinter than he is a classics rider. Like, someone proved me wrong or changed my mind.
I agree, because he always misses something in the latter part of a classic this season, except for Amstel Gold Race, where he lost to Pidcock.
Facts. Okay, next question. Who will be the most successful sprinter, or the most successful sprinters? We'll do three in 2022. Now, this is where we do factor in lead out. We factor in team. We factor in injury, shape, all those sorts of things, and maybe, you know, their projected program. Who do we think will be the most successful sprinter? My first is Jakobsen.
Okay, mine as well.
We don't coordinate this. So, I mean, people probably believe that we're not organized enough to coordinate it. So it is legit. Benji's got it as Jakobsen. Why have you got it? Quick step effect plus higher talent level or ceiling than...
He's the sprinter that will be riding for the Koenig Quick Step at the Tour de France next year. And yeah, therefore he will win sprints. It's simple math. The Koenig plus Jakobsen plus Tour de France equals wins.
What should Lotto have offered Mirko, Benji? If you're paying Caleb, I don't know. They're paying Caleb, I think, he's not on the minimum contract. It's a fair salary. They've signed Schwarzman, I think, and Rüdiger Zerlig, who, let's just say the Ackermann leadouts and that sprint train and system was not exactly working this year. They signed those guys who are getting older. Ackermann's gone. I did a whole video and I thought Ackermann, when Ackermann was like, oh, my numbers are actually pretty good. And I was like, I looked at his positioning. He was getting dropped off way too early, even in non-World Tour races. And yeah, I just don't think those guys are the solution. And I'm concerned for Ewan's leadouts next year still. Yeah, what would you pay Mirko, Benji? Do you think there's systemic underpayment of leadout guys, or do you think it's not just enough to have the final man? You need the whole train, the system. Who's the guys in the car? Tom Steels?
Tom Steels is in the car. But when it comes to their sprinting trainer and group and so forth, because I would expect that they've got a pretty established idea on how to set up sprint trains after the years at the Koenig. And as a consequence, perhaps it's more than just the person behind the wheel. It's more the entire staff surrounding sprints, people who... I don't know, techniques that they use that aren't used by other teams, I would expect, stuff like that. And yes, Mirko is indeed the one, but before Mirko, it was Richese, and Richese went to UAE, and now he's kind of Orese instead of Richese.
Yeah, exactly. Or Sabatini was here at Quickstep with Viviani. That didn't work very well at Covetous with, I don't know, he's getting old, he might have retired with Viviani. So, yeah, maybe you take Mirko out of Quickstep and he ain't, Mirko anymore. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I do worry about Ewan, and that's why I don't have him first. And I just think Jakobsen, the way he's shaping up, is he can be as good as Bennett plus that train, lethal. I think my concern is still he has a bit of Merlier. I'm not sure how he goes over the climbs. I know he made some time cuts in the World Tour, which were generous, but some funny statistics about his climbing times there, which where he's doing the same time as the GC group, which seems a bit surprising. So we'll wait to see how he goes in the Tour, particularly on those Col du Granon stages. But yeah, who have you got second, Benji? I've still got – it's a tough one for me. Bennett is going to Bora. Yeah, how do you think Bennett will go at Bora? What train does he have, Haller?
Huller's there. We've got Van Poppel who went there. We have
Ryan Mullen.
Wells went there. Ryan Mullen.
Shane Archbold.
In all honesty, these are all riders that on a separate occasion in different teams all had a pretty good role, and Huller was a great lead out for Christoph in the past. But I haven't seen them work together, and to be able to judge whether they will be able to work together properly to bring Bennett into the front of sprint is something that I just honestly don't have full confidence in. But I also, I don't know, it's difficult. I kind of want them to succeed after what he went through at with Lefebvre this year, but I just have a hard time seeing it.
Yeah, like he's going to have to change his, like, just when he was getting used to, we saw in the first year, sometimes he didn't fully commit to following Mercu. Then he 2020 Paris-Nice, it was just like unbelievable in UAE Tour, their chemistry. Just when he was getting used to that, he gets taken out of that again, where you're now in this Bora setup where you can't just blindly follow your lead out man because it might take you nowhere.
Do you think that we're going to see a complete turnaround when it comes to a certain sprinter that will go from one sprint a year to being very successful in the name of Gizball?
No, I don't know. Is there anyone left on DSM to lead him out? Have they got enough rides on the
roster? Van Welder stuck there, right?
Yeah, but Case Benoit's gone. I mean, yeah, Case Ball, like 26. I don't know. So odd. That Paris-Nice stage win was fantastic from him on stage two, dominated everyone, but then not good. They should honestly just let Eckhoff do what he wants to want to keep him happy. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I think probably Ewan second most successful and then Melier, I'd say. But we haven't mentioned Philipson, Benji. What are you, like, do you see Philipson as capable, if all the big boys are there at the Tour de France, can he win a bunch sprint? I just don't see it, even with a good lead out.
One, perhaps, yes, if everything falls into place. But when everything goes right for the other sprinters as well, it will become difficult. And we also have to look at the situation at that team. We have Merlier, we have Philipson, we have Van der Poel. If Alpsen ever wants to go for the green jersey with Van der Poel, they will need to sprint on flat sprints with Van der Poel, something that we've seen that he doesn't have excellence in, because he's able to do it once or twice in the year where he could do it, but his positioning is a bit off when it comes to bunch sprints, and he's a bit too spiky to be able to stay at the front as well. So he kind of goes too fast into a corner, then realizes that he's stuck behind somebody, then has to push back again, stuff like that. And when it comes to Merlier, we know that when he shows up the first week, he's going to win sprints. But after that, not so much. Now, if you look at the Tour de France, Paco, we spoke about your 2.7 sprint stages, and then we realized that Champs-Élysées was still available as well, so 3.7. But in all honesty, like, Champs-Élysées alone for Merlier at the end of the Tour de France, I kind of feel like it's worth sending him to the Tour de France because he can do so for the first week and enjoy those flat sprints that we do have in the first week. While Philipson can just do a lot of stuff throughout the entire Grand Tour. But I think Merlier is still a better sprinter on the first week. So they've got a very difficult situation to schedule these riders for a Grand Tour, because at some point Philipson will need to go to the Tour de France for himself. But I have a hard time believing it will be next year.
I think they'll send both again and just have Merlier go for the first two and then have Philipson. Or maybe they don't send Philipson at all and they don't. There's not many sprint stages left. I would send Philipson to Milano Sanremo. I think he could get over Poggio. I really like his.
You've got Van der Poel, mate.
Yeah, why not just have both?
Van der Poel's 25th before the Poggio anyway, so we can push
exactly
Philipson back to the front group afterwards.
I mean, Van der Poel kind of was the one that kept the race together for no sprinter this year anyway. Like, so, yeah, I think Philipson at MSR is a really, like, he fits that profile really well in my view. I think he's just a classic sprinter. I really like Philipson, and he's done better this year than I thought. But, yeah, Cavendish, Benji, what do you expect from him next year? I think it's just going to be another dogfight for him in trying to fighting for Tour de France selection, first of all, which I think Jakobsen should take. And but still, what do you think about him going to the Giro or just any other races?
I don't know.
Remco's doing Giro or Vuelta. What's Remco doing now?
I have no – Vuelta.
Oh, okay.
On paper, it wasn't fully decided yet, but Vuelta seems the most likely based on the schedule. Nonetheless, Cavendish – does he even want to do Grand Tours that are not the Tour de France?
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, who the fuck cares about the Vuelta and the Giro if your name is Mark Cavendish?
How many he's done? He's done five Giros, two Vueltas. He's definitely not doing the Vuelta. I don't know. I
heard he enjoyed Andalusia, though. Or was it not Andalusia?
It was Andalusia, where he DNF'd. And then Greipel, I think, won the last stage. Cav was like, it's too hilly, and then Greipel won, and Lefebvre roasted him. We haven't mentioned one guy. It's now 30 minutes in, Benji. He's changing teams to Israel Startup Nation as well. Nizzolo. He won a Giro stage.
Yeah.
His first sort of big win. He's older. He's been a good classic guy. World champs making G1 very impressive until Alaphilippe attacked. What do you see from Nizzolo next year? I think he'll have a better lead-out train, but not the best. Do you think – I thought he was going to go to Quickstep. I think what would have happened would be if Jakobsen, you know, couldn't recover, I think they would have signed Nizzolo because he's not that expensive, and with the Quickstep train would have been good. But, yeah, how do you think that will work?
When it comes to Nizzolo, I think that he's going to be more successful than this year. He was having a pretty good season and previous seasons in total with the European Championships last year as well. But I think that he's just going to become more consistent if he has a better sprint train. Now, I don't expect that to come full then allow him to win the Tour de France sprints left and right, because I believe that the Koenig will still have a better lead out, that there's going to be better sprinters at the starting line there. But throughout the year, he might be able to pick up more sprints. Now, I don't think that is going to be a huge difference. I think that Israel's lead out is not terrible, but it's also not outstanding. And therefore, it's going to be one of those middle teams when it comes to lead out, a bit better than middle, perhaps, and be able to position him for more races, but not for all races. And yeah, I just expect a tiny bit more, but I think you've got a different opinion or not?
I think Giro, he could win two stages and maybe take the points jersey, but I still don't see his top end speed as good enough to consistently win Tour de France stages.
Now, I want to throw it over to Jumbo Visma, and let's talk about... We've got Groenewegen, Dekker, and Olaf Kooi. I think Olaf Kooi is going to be a big sprinter in the future. I don't think next year yet, because he's still like... Isn't he like 19 still?
So 20, just turned 20.
Okay. So it's unlikely that he's going to be riding his first Grand Tour next year, I would expect. 20 is kind of still an early age, so 21 I would expect him to be his first Grand Tour. But David Dekker, he was the one for the Giro. I was hoping for that Giro stage win, and then Groenewegen showed up.
Why not lead out an out of shape Groenewegen instead?
I think next year Groenewegen will be successful.
No, he will be, but at the Giro, I mean, he was not in the best shape of his life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the question I wanted to ask. Who wins the white jersey of sprinters next year? Because you and Bennett, Melier, etc., they're all over 25. Who's the 23? You think Kooi will be the best under 23 sprinter in World
Tour? I think he's going to start showing up.
I think you're right. And he's also, I think he doesn't mind a little uphill drag either, kind of like Philipsen. I'm keen to see how all of Kooi goes. Bauhaus.
Bauhaus, let's be honest. The 1.1 race and the 1A.
The 2.1 specialist.
Yeah, nothing more than that I would expect. Perhaps some top five sprints in other World Tour races if he does show up in some. But I just don't see it when it comes to the big guns and beating them. But I was thinking, like, which other young sprinting talents do you expect to show up in the next couple of years? Because we're talking about Olaf Kooi, but is there anyone else where you're like, oh, this guy?
Jordi Meus.
Walls?
Walls is good. He beat Nizzolo last week, didn't he? Or a couple of weeks ago with Gran Piemonte. There's probably some guy coming off the track program who, like, I know Kellen O'Brien, he's going to be a good lead out man at Bike Exchange. Just announced his signing, huge engine. But there's probably some track guy converting that we don't Leitao really know.
At Caja.
Yeah.
I'm believing it. Portuguese rider, young rider. He was second at the, was it elimination race behind Viviani? On Trek World Championships recently, Yuri Leitao, and he's going to Caja Rural. That's a great transfer. Honestly, one of the better transfers I've seen across the entire men's world tour. No, men's cycling in general.
Another Caja one that's a young talent, the man going over to Trek, Abarasturi. What a signing to clean up some, maybe come second in some 2-2 races.
Actually, they replaced Abarasturi very well at Caja Rural with Leitao, to be honest.
Speaking of Trek, Mads Pedersen, who I thought in 2020 was going to develop into a lock top five sprinter in the world, he, I don't know if what happened with his year, he won Koerner, Russell Koerner, but then because he came second behind Ben in the Champs-Élysées sprint in the Tour last year, and then he had inconsistent results. I'm really keen to see Pedersen bounce back, and I kind of want him to just target pure bunch sprints and focus on that at World Tour level. I still think he can win here and there, and Turns and Sturven is a pretty good leader as well. But in terms of U25s, it's tough to know. These guys can pop up out of nowhere and you're like, holy, you're so good. Maybe Ethan Hayter, is he fast enough to win?
Not for pure bench sprints in my eyes. Not yet, at least. I haven't seen anything to prove that he will be one of the better ones. And if he does end up being one of the better ones, there's usually Impey that decides to try and throw a crash party in 500 meters of sprint stage is where he's at. So I don't know.
Okay, that's our sort of sprinters roundup of the year. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know your top five sprinters of the year, who you thought was the most successful, and who you think is going to be the most successful sprinter next year. We'll be back in your ears on Thursday with our award show for the best GC riders, which are not a long list to choose from in terms of the first couple of fellas. In the off season, we'll also be dropping our episodes every Monday and Thursday. Once we finish the award shows, we'll move on to our team previews, which we started too late last year. We're actually planning this year. But thanks to Lukovs for the podcast. Thanks to Benji and his new haircut. And we'll see you on Thursday. Ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.